This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com. This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com.
Podcast Network powered by Spotify Audio. Cousin Sal coming to you here. We have Mikey Meatballs producing this disaster of a show. And joined me, as always, my wizards of wagering, my gurus of gambling, my barons of betting, my overlords of the odds, the D3, Harry, Brother Bri, Darren, the Pauly Kid. What is happening, fellas?
What's going on, Sal?
Hey, Sal.
What's going on, buddy?
Harry has warned us. We appreciate the warning that he is sick and he might be coughing. And we already got a throat clear about 18 seconds in, which I think you can bet that on FanDuel. I think we went under there.
Why not?
You all right, Harry? What's going on? We need you this week.
I'll be okay. All right. Just a little, Vegas hangover, but had a nice weekend overall. Made about 1,200 betting sports, hit some nice parlays.
Really?
Threw Mikey Meatballs in on a parlay. He banged it too. So he got some money too. So it was a good time.
What kind of talk is this? He banged the parlay. Well, so you won. Oh, what was your big winner? I feel like you were complaining a lot.
I had Laporta first touchdown at 12-1. And I also hit 5 for 5 on player props in that game as well. So that was a nice one.
Wow. Parlay, can you believe all this?
He told me he won 900.
Oh, wow. Then I had a parlay late.
So
I
12, didn't even, well, the 900, you said you told me you won 900. You were already out of Vegas. You were out of Vegas already. Realize. And now you're saying 1,200. So 1,200. I don't know.
Well, did he have to give away?
You told me 900 this morning. You told me you won 900.
No,
now
yesterday
it's 1,200.
Morning.
Whatever.
It turned out to be 1,200 now that I think about it.
It seems like he won.
Well, maybe he's still thinking about it. Maybe he could be a millionaire by the end of this podcast, but who knows? Did you get to hold on to all the money? Maybe that's where the discrepancy is.
I know.
All right, listen, on this show, though, we're all coming off a good week. Actually, Brother Bri went 7-7-2. The rest of us with 9 wins. We're all above 500. This is 15 weeks. This is hundreds of games in, and we're all about above 500. Bri, we'll take that. I know you didn't like that.
Yeah, I'll take it. I mean, I didn't feel like it was a great weekend. I started off terribly. I mean, my FanDuel picks weren't great. But yeah, I thought I wanted that Eagles game last night to go 8-6 and 8-6-2. That would have been nicer.
All right. Well, let's get into that. Might as well keep the misery rolling. It's time to deep dive into the collectively crushed soul of the D3 in a segment we hate to call Bet Aches.
When a bet makes you sick and you make the wrong pick, it's a bet ache. It's a bet ache. It's a bet ache.
All right, Bryce, start us off with that Eagles-Seahawks game. Pretty good Monday night. Good for Cowboys fans, we think, except then Pauly Kid and I spent an hour trying to figure out why we're the 2 seed but can't win the division if we win out. But anyway, we'll get to that in a minute.
Will say that was pretty fascinating, right? I think you even admitted this morning you kept forgetting teams, like the mutual teams that they played, so...
I forgot. I thought we had the common opponents thing. In my head, the freaking Eagles lost to the Bills a few weeks ago because they played so miserably, but that wasn't the case anyway. But they did lose Monday night.
Yeah, and look, it was extra excruciating for me, right? So I have the Eagles on a couple of big parlays to end the weekend on a plus note. I think I was okay otherwise. But look, guys, I didn't even really get to watch the game because I was in the emergency room with my daughter for 7.5 hours. from 6 o'clock to 1:30 a.m. So they basically needed to rule out an appendicitis. So they sent us there. So then she had to get these ultrasounds. So for the ultrasounds, the funny thing is you need a full bladder, but they take your urine right away. So as soon as they take your urine for a test, now you have to just wait until your bladder fills up again. And so they're giving her IV bags. They're sending us back up and down every hour to get an ultrasound, but they keep sending us back saying her bladder's not full yet. So we did this three times over about a 4 hour span. And while this is happening, my service is going in and out. I'm trying to save battery. I'm trying to find out what's going on with this football game.
Of course.
And all of a sudden I'm just getting texts and everything is, I can't tell if it's real time or 15, 20 minutes behind. I'm getting the wows from all different angles. I'm assuming because of the wows, the Seahawks won, which they did, just because I know you guys, that was a big game for the Cowboys. But it was just miserable in terms of just trying to find out what the hell is happening during this game. So moral of the story is don't go to the ER during a football game.
She's okay, though, right? I think people want to know.
Okay. She's okay.
These, a lot of times these result in gas, and it's like a great practical joke.
Well, it's kind of what it is, but like, I don't know. There's like going to be a million more follow-up doctor appointments, which is going to be just as bad, just trying to figure out the root cause of it. But
that's a bed ache. I'll help you along here with this Eagles. I felt like before that last drive, everybody wants to pounce on Matt Patricia. And by the way, he did stick that pencil right through the heart of anyone who had the Eagles minus 3.5 there on that last drive. Parlay kid, I think Seattle had only like 195, 200 total yards before Drew Lock in that last drive. And great for him and great post-game interview and everything. And he like gave himself a pep talk during the interview. And it was really kind of terrific on all counts, except that you had the Eagles, right?
Yeah, well, I had as my sharp tank to finish up like a plus 300 parlay. It's been a while since I've lost the last leg of a parlay, so
it's fun.
Good,
right?
To be back. Felt good to be back home in that respect. And I said, look, I would live with the Eagles losing, but now, as it turns out, basically the Cowboys really doesn't seem like they can overtake the Eagles.
Yeah.
So they might as well have won that game, Philly. I really took no consolation out of a loss. And at no point of that game, at no point until it actually happened, until that touchdown happened, did I think the Eagles were losing that game.
Yeah.
I really never felt like they were in trouble, regardless of what the score was, 10-10. I felt like the Eagles are winning this game up until that 3rd and 10 play where the receiver gets behind the Eagles defensive back, makes a really good catch, very solid throw. And that's when I first realized that I'm probably not winning this game. Then I thought I still had a shot, maybe take this to overtime. Seattle makes a great pick. Stupid pass by Hurts.
Two great picks by Love, right? I mean, that the one that near out of bounds and the one before that on the what ended up being like a jump ball. But yeah, that was something else. And I agree with you. It didn't seem like, and it's probably because Seattle couldn't move the ball. And then Metcalf, right. You look at Metcalf, like, why isn't that guy why isn't he 7 for 145?
We say it all the time.
Yeah, right. Every game. It's ridiculous. And Harry, I know Kenneth Walker, you're a Kenneth Walker fan. He was running well for Seattle, but just the same, you thought Philadelphia. And Jalen Hurts was sick, by the way. If you saw him in the post-game press conference, like, they shouldn't have designed. I feel like when he had to make decisions throwing the ball, it was worse than when he was off. He had a bunch of designed runs, and he looked good. But I feel like in the pocket was when it got a little weird. Right,
look,
go ahead. I'm sorry, whoever.
I was just going to say, I mean, Philly's got some issues. I mean, at 10-1, everything was, you know, they're the darling of the NFC, and San Francisco had their little run of losses, but now they've dominated in Philly. 3 straight losses now at 10-4. 3 games they haven't scored 20 points or more. And they had a couple of games that they probably definitely should have lost. They pulled out late too. Didn't play a complete game. Questionable about Philly moving forward here now, Sal.
Yeah. Go ahead, Parlay Kid. What were we going to say?
No, I was just going to say, let's not give Hurts any excuses, Sal. He played last night. Nobody gives Prescott an excuse if he were to play like that. We can't give Hurts that excuse. Dallas had about 10 guys that they said had the flu this week as well, yeah, whatever it was. So, and we're not going to give the Cowboys an excuse for their game. So don't give Hurts an excuse. He made a couple very poor decisions that cost his team the game. That's it.
Yeah. It wasn't a Philly. This is a, to Harry's point, this is not Philadelphia Eagles football. They won time of possession by 5 minutes. They had rushing yards by almost 80. You know, third down, they had this team beat. You know, like I said, not much. The defense didn't give up much. And, you know, the two turnovers, the minus two in the turnover differential is a difference. All right, Harry, bring us back down to earth and give us a bet egg for a college basketball game. What you have?
I had one last night, too. Brian's had his last night. Mine last night was, how about this, Sal? The University of Cal San Diego Tritons versus the Cal State Sacramento Hornets. I had over 137 points. The game lands 135 in a blowout, 83-52. 83-52 with 7 minutes to go in a blowout. So, you know, they're not going to play defense. If the guy's got a layup, let him have it. So you're probably going to get some easy baskets in between. That was at 127 with 545 to go at 127 in a blowout game. Teams missed 7 layups in that last 5.5 minutes. Game lands 135.
You watched? I'm looking.
I was watching on my phone. Yeah.
Oh, so it says missed layup on the thing.
Missed layup. And I'm like, you got it. And it lands 135.
That's good.
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right. So do you want to change the amount of money you won in Vegas now? Or is that, was that factored into everything?
That was, I guess it was factored in. Okay. Yeah, it was factored in.
All right.
Yeah.
There you go. All right. Let's play the music, Mikey Meatballs. Get us out of bet aches.
When a bet makes you sick and you make the wrong pick, it's a bet ache. It's a bet ache. It's a bet ache.
All right, listen, we're going to take a quick break. Got lots to cover here. We got week 15 recap, week 16 look ahead. We're going to talk a little NBA, believe it or not. Covington Edwards, Harry's got a fantasy playoff matchup. All to come when we return.
This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit jiffylube.com.
All right, Parley Kid, we got to discuss this Cowboys-Bills. We lost 31-10. I blame myself and you and even Phil Sims. We praised Mike McCarthy a lot, maybe too much. I think this is one of his... Well, it was everybody's worst game. It really was. We got beat up on the line of scrimmage like we hadn't been before. I guess against the 49ers is the only comp to it. The Bills needed it more. Again, I don't want to make excuses, but 31-10. And it could have even been worse than that. And it doesn't look good for us for the NFC East, I think, even though we try to figure it out, right?
Yeah. Disappointing performance by our Cowboys. McCarthy didn't seem to have the team prepared for the week. They got bullied around by the Bills, right? They really did. And look, the Cowboys are a different team. When they get to play you from ahead, when they're ahead in the game, and you have to turn to the air to throw the ball, they can really rush the passer. They can create turnovers. That's when they're at their best. But when teams get up 7-0, 10-0, and can keep pounding the ball, the Cowboys are soft in the middle. They don't really have that big time middle linebacker. They don't have, you know, Mazie Smith seems to have been a bust. OC's been great inside, but he's still a little undersized. So they do get bullied a little bit. And that's kind of what happened in this Bills game. But don't forget, and it was the Cowboys' fault. And this comes from, you can blame the players and the coaches, but The first three scores from the Bills, DeMarcus Lawrence on a third down, which it would have been a field goal, right? He roughs the passer.
Yeah.
They end up getting a first down and scoring. Then we're getting the ball back. We have a block punt, or not a block punt, but we hit rough the punter.
Mm-hmm.
They come down and score. Then we don't challenge a fumble.
Right.
Right. And then on Diggs, the very next two plays later, on second and 19, we take a PI call or a roughing call, right? Targeting maybe on a receiver call, which wasn't a great call. But those three plays led to three touchdowns.
Yeah. And well, that's part of the undisciplined thing I'm talking about with McCarthy. We were just a mess of a team, I think, going in there. And we got pushed around.
If we clean that up, that game is different, even though it doesn't seem like offensively that we would have been able to score more than what we did anyway.
Mm-hmm.
We just didn't seem to,
what it does is, I think you're right. I don't want to read into it too much. Like, this isn't the Cowboys team, right? We're not that bad. The Bills aren't this good. They're not going to run for 266 on the ground every single game. Although that was the Bills. That's what the Bills need to do, right? They have to run not 266, but if they run Harry for 100 yards a game, Josh Allen doesn't have to make a million decisions. He's not throwing interceptions, not fumbling, or if he does, it doesn't matter as much. But what it does do, I think Dak is out of the MVP discussion because now Purdy is favored. He's like minus 200, minus 250 right there. And Harry also Bills to make the playoffs is now minus 188, even though they sit ninth as we speak.
For Dallas, and it really was. And their only big win this year was versus Philly a couple last week. So extremely fortunate wins. For Dallas and some of these for Philly and some of these games too. So now Dallas, I don't know, Sal. Like, I mean, just Dak takes the hit. He's had big games against bad teams. The Philly game was good, but other than that, looks like it's Purdy right now. Maybe McCaffrey. Purdy saying that McCaffrey's the best player in the league and he deserves it more than him, which is pretty crazy.
That was the funniest thing I heard. So babyface Joel Solomon gets back from Vegas and he tells me about Harry and Ken are doing a lap because Harry told Ken to bet McCaffrey a few weeks ago to win MVP. And so they did a lap. I think the lap took about 46 minutes, but they did a lap. And Harry forgot to direct Ken to the tote board where McCaffrey is still. Well, now he's 12-1. I'll give you that. He was 20-1. All right.
Plus Tyreek Hill takes a hit because he didn't play. Yeah. Dak, like we just mentioned, takes a big hit because he couldn't come through big on the road. But back to the Bills, Sal, like you mentioned, for the playoffs. At the Chargers this week should be a definite win. Obviously, Bills Mafia is going to take over L.A. Revenge game the week after against New England in Buffalo. And then at Miami. How about the Bills at plus 220 for the division? Miami's got, like we said, Dallas this week, at Baltimore, and Buffalo. Two games back, Buffalo. But if Miami folds and loses against Dallas and then at Baltimore, the division is up for grabs in the last week of the regular season.
Yeah, it's interesting. And they crushed the Dolphins the first time. So, look, we talk about this, Bri, and like the Bills might not make the playoffs. And if they do, that's a team nobody wants to see, right? Like Bills 49ers, I would say right now.
Exactly, because right now you're thinking the Bills are a top four or five team, right? Based on what we've seen the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I just hope they play the Chiefs early. Chiefs first round. I want that rematch. I want that game again. I want it again.
Yeah,
That'll be good. Yeah,
definitely.
What do you think if they're 10-7, Buffalo?
Well, we're looking at. I was looking at it. I think 10-7 gets tossed.
Well, that's what I'm thinking.
Too many 8-6s right now. I think one
and a lot of them have tiebreakers over Buffalo. And I don't know if that changes. You know, sometimes that's conference. It might that could flip flop.
Don't ask Parlay Kid and I to figure it out. we're still lost after about 6 hours of figuring out the Cowboys.
Very impressive. The Bills running the get tack. Me and Darren have been saying that all year. Get them to pound the ball. They don't do it enough. not enough rushing attempts. They were great. That's
the whole thing. Let's see if they could duplicate that. And the answer is no, they're not going to be able to do 262 or six on the ground. But anything half of that, I'm sure they would take. Mm-hmm. Cincinnati, Minnesota, Saturday was 27-24. I'm thinking now, Parley Kid, you're right about this Jake Browning. I don't know how much we have to see. They got a little lucky. You know, the Vikings couldn't convert third and one in overtime. Mullen straight up the middle two times and a short. Otherwise, the Vikings were at least going to attempt the field goal there. But anyway, 27-24. Parley Kid, Jake Browning, the best backup playing right now. Do you take Browning? Do you take Flacco? Or do you take Minshew on their respective teams?
Well, Minshew's been good. Flacco's been, you know, he's been a little bit more than serviceable, I guess, for what he's done for the Browns. But I think the answer here is very simple. It's Jake Browning. I mean, he looks like Burrow. Like it's almost like they haven't lost a step over the last three games, right? When he first made his appearance, you could kind of, it was a noticeable difference. But right now, he's basically giving you what Burrow would give you, right? Burrow a little bit more, maybe a little bit more, but for the most part, he's giving you what Burrow would give you and how much you can't ask for anything more. He is the best backup playing right now.
Yeah.
Not even close.
It's not like they're winning and it's not like they're pulling out games 17-13.
No, right.
And he's had two games. He's two of the three games, 354 versus Jacksonville, 324 in that game we just mentioned against Minnesota. Nine total touchdowns in those games too.
And he did it without Chase. I mean, they made some great catches too for him.
And he, well, that's the thing.
How about Higgins' touchdown? I mean,
that Higgins touchdown was insane. There was some really good catches that whole game on both teams. But, and Bri, if you believe what I think, that one of the 10 and sevens is going to get knocked out, you look at on FanDuel, Cincinnati's over 9.5 wins. Now they have eight, right? They're 8-6.
Yeah.
Over 9.5 is +164. To make the playoffs is +176. I think, you know, obviously a little higher. I still think over 9.5 is the way to play that between those bets.
Exactly. If you're going to take that, you might as well take that. They get to 10. Although they have what? They have the Chiefs left.
The Bengals finish with the Browns.
The Browns.
Yeah.
Browns.
And that you think that's a Sunday night game, Harry? I mean, it depends. The Browns will probably be by then. Yeah. They want two teams where it means something to both, right?
Could be Miami Buffalo, like I said, too.
You know what it could be? It could be Colts Texans. That really could be a game. Yeah, need.
Yeah. I mean, the funny thing is, I mean, it's not going to be based, I think, on who they still have to play, but
right.
The Jaguars could fall out of the playoffs. It's just funny.
Yeah.
It's just funny. You have a three team race there. But Sal, I'll say, you know what's funny? That was one of the things we talked about before the season is what backup is going to have the most wins.
Now, I was way off.
Yeah. Pretty much I feel like every team has played a backup, it seems like, at this point of the year. You know, I don't think from the four of us, I could be wrong. I don't think from the four of us, we have a win for the quarterbacks.
I don't know if I have a snap out of Jarrett Stidham.
Well, that's the thing that's funny, right? And yet all of these backup quarterbacks are playing. And I'll say too, these backup quarterbacks, we've always complained about these backup quarterbacks are the worst. They sucked. We've seen, right, when they've gotten like a second game this year. And I don't know if it's just because there's that many backups playing and they're playing against other backups. Mm-hmm. But some of these guys have played well. I mean, like you said, Minshew with a, like.
Yes.
O'Connell, Brian.
Yeah, well, again, O'Connell's serviceable, you know, like, I mean, there's the guys are, except unless it's the Jets or the Pats, everybody else has had.
That's like, the whole thing. Everybody loves Zach Wilson. Oh, you can't go look with Jets, Dolphins, the first game. Oh, you had that guy. He threw the pick six on the Hail Mary. Now it's Zach Wilson. It's like, all right, timeout. 3 weeks ago, you didn't think Zach Wilson should have been a quarterback in the NFL. But yeah, so I caution everybody about falling in love with these backups, but you're right. It's funny because I said on Simmons, Jacoby Brissett, what the hell did he do wrong? He was one of the better backups a couple of years ago. Took him 15 weeks to get in a game. So it's a weird year.
And he was
year.
Pretty good. He was pretty good when he got in.
Yeah, for sure. Browns Bears 2017, great ending, fun ending. That's a bummer if you had the Bears. I know a lot of people had +3 or or worse, or Bears money line. They had a bunch of attempts to win that game. They blew the lead, as the parlay kid said. Flacco threw three picks and then just gunned it downfield like a vet, like didn't give up, you know, kept throwing like, you know, Reggie Miller, whatever, 2 for 12 shooting. Going to shoot or shoot. Cleveland now -750 parlay kid to make the playoffs on their fourth quarterback with 9 wins. Looks like they're going to do it, but -750 with Joe Flacco is funny.
Isn't that, you never would have guessed, right? You could never have guessed that at the start of the year. But at the same time, like, you know, look, we know what Cleveland's really about. They, you know, it really starts on their defensive side of the ball. They made some plays when they had to the other day, even though, like you just said, that was the Bears game. They gave that one away. They gave that game away. I think I was the only one of us on the Bears.
Yeah.
But boy, oh boy, Flacco's been really good. I think that, right, that there's really, he couldn't you see him having a little bit of a run in the playoffs too?
Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Like if Watson came back right now, I would think you'd say, we got to go with Flacco. We're rolling with Flacco. Flacco's a better ball thrower than Watson. Seriously, I really would believe that.
Definitely downfield. I'm with you. They needed to run the ball a little more. I mean, they still won, but they got lucky. They had 29 yards rushing in that game. So I don't know if it's asking Jerome Ford and Kareem Hunt to do too much, but they got to get that total up there. Harry, I don't know. You want to flip flop again on Fields? I kind of feel, I don't know what to think, because he's 19 for 40 with 166, a touchdown, 2 interceptions. But that throw to Tanyan, if Tanyan catches that, and any of us could have caught that, that puts him over 200, two touchdowns, right? So I don't know what to think about that game.
Well, tough game. Yeah. Tough game for the Bears. Browns rally, scored 13 in the fourth. Bears didn't score in the fourth. That's a couple of games the Bears have blown late in the last month or so. But to your point, Sal, about the Browns for the playoffs, they get at the schedule at Houston with probably Case Keenum again. I mean, we'll see how that goes with Stroud this week. They get the Jets at home on Thursday. And Cincinnati, who they dominated of late, dominated early in the season too. And Flacco, and you know, Flacco loves Njoku.
We're still saying Flacco, huh? Flacco, doing it. Yeah.
Loves Njoku. 3 touchdowns in his past 2 games, and Amari Cooper finally showed up with a big game, too. Big win for the Browns.
Njoku, Bryant, team. Seems like, well, listen, if they had Chubb and, you know, not all these injuries, I really think they would compete. I mean, they're about to have 10 wins anyway. They would be competing with the Ravens, I think. But, that Njoku is kind of what everybody thought Kyle Pitts would be. Phil Simms talked about him, like how uncoverable he is. 10 receptions, 104. That's a difference maker.
Well,
bro.
He looks huge. He looks, you know, athletic. I mean, that's what they expected from Njoku when they signed him. It's usually, you don't see, I mean, I'm trying to think, how many years has he been in the league now? It's like 6. It's about 6.
Is it that many? Yeah.
If I had to guess, I mean, I know he was young too when he was coming out, but you usually don't see like tight ends.
Yeah, 2017. Develop. Yeah.
You don't usually see them develop that late, right? Where all of a sudden it's like, oh, this guy's good. You know, this guy's good. It seems like either they have it or they don't within the first 2 or 3 years. And I joke because he's always been solid. He was a guy that would have, you know, 2 touchdowns in 1 game and then never score again for the rest of the year. But they're finally going to him. So, I mean, he definitely looks like a difference maker on offense for them.
Yeah.
For
sure. 16 receptions, 195, the last 2 games, 3 touchdowns. Yeah. And really 4 of the last 5, he's been good. So, all right. So that's a fun team to watch. Let's do Baltimore, Jacksonville. This was Sunday night, 23-7. Jacksonville goes down and now Lawrence in concussion protocol, right? They signed the guy today. I hadn't even heard of, I don't think. The practice squad. And Bri, as you pointed out, Jacksonville in a little bit of trouble here, still favored to win the division. I think because they have the Panthers at home. And then who do they have the last week? It doesn't they have a team that may
they
not
still
win
have
to win.
Tennessee, right?
Tennessee, right. They're at Tennessee that last last week. So that's that. But you look division because they have the tiebreaker. I know they have the same record as Indy and Houston. They're -112. That's gone down. That was -140 the other day, even after their Sunday night game. Colts +280, Texans +290. what do we think of the Jaguars in that Sunday game? But they were a dumb team. That dumb right before McManus missed a bunch of field goals. That dumb play before the half. I don't know what the hell they were doing. It could have been closer, but it seemed like the Ravens weren't going to lose that game either way.
That was a weird game. I feel like Jacksonville, though, they just don't have the right flow on offense right now, right? There's just something. They're another team, right? Like, I feel like when ATN's going, right, then they play really well. When he's not, then they're just not playing that well. You know, defensively, they hung around in that game, even though they've been terrible now for a couple of weeks. But yeah, I don't know. And then it's like, you know, we all praise Lawrence at times, but there's always one or two bad plays from Lawrence as well. And I know he's probably still hurting, but yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to think, Sal, because there's definitely a case. You can make a case for Indy or Houston. I know they play each other last week, like you were saying earlier. Maybe that's a Sunday game, the last. But you can make a case for one of those teams going 3-0 here down the stretch, right? Winning this division, potentially.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess that's one. And Paulie Kidd, on the other side, I'm looking for, maybe they don't have it right up now. Number one seed, you penciling in the Ravens here at number one seed? They have them, they're minus 200.
Yeah, I got to look at their schedule going forward, but I don't think I don't think it's that easy.
They play Miami in 2 weeks.
Right?
Yeah, well, that's the big one. That's
San Francisco than Miami. If they beat Miami, right?
Look,
and the game is at Baltimore.
I'm kind of rooting for them. I have them to win it all this year. So, they're a team, like, unlike the Jaguars, like Brian is saying, and I felt the same way. The Jags just seem more explosive offensively last year than they are this year. And where they don't know how to win games, the Ravens just know how to win football games. Like, that's just the bottom line. With that type, they could plug in any running back. Now it seems like you could plug in any tight end. You can plug in any receiver, and they win football games. And a lot of it's just because they play a very blue-collar type of defense, and they're hard to score against for the most part, even though there have been some teams that have exploited them a little bit. But still, and Harbaugh's a good coach.
They're number one in the league in points allowed, guys, and second in yards allowed, first in rushing. But the thing is with the Ravens, like the game a couple weeks ago against the Rams, they pulled that game out. They were very fortunate, but Lamar hasn't been great when it come playoff time. And they could look great in these next three games, Sal. They could look great in these next three games, and they're the number one seed. But then when the playoff comes around, if they were to lose in the first round or the second round of the playoffs, we might not be surprised because of what they haven't done in the playoffs lately.
I wouldn't be surprised by any team except the 49ers. That's the only one. That's the only one. The last three at the 49ers, home against the Dolphins, as Bryce said, that's a New Year's Eve day. And then home against the Steelers, which, you know, they might be playing for Tomlin's streak or who knows what's going on. But that's their easiest of the three.
Sal, what's Lamar's MVP odds after? Because I'm just trying to think. A lot has to do with this week's game.
It's a personal question. It's really personal.
A lot has to do with this week's game.
Of course. And how many times? This is like the third or fourth time we've seen this where the two quarterbacks matching up.
Right. I'm just thinking the Raven, you know, because you said Purdy's minus 200, but they're minus
500. Plus 500 for Lamar the other way.
Right. So if you like the Ravens this week at plus 194, you take Lamar, right?
I think so. I mean, I don't know.
Right? Because if Lamar has a big game and they win in San Francisco, if they're going to beat San Francisco, it's going to be Lamar, right?
I think it would have to be. I'm a little weary because Josh Allen did nothing against the Cowboys and they crushed us. So we've seen the Ravens have big running games, but
I'm just saying, like, I'd rather, if you're going to take Purdy to win the MVP, I'd rather just take San Francisco minus 235 this week instead of Purdy minus 200, right? And if you're going to take the Ravens at plus 190, I'd rather take 5-1 because the winner of this game is pretty much a lock for the one seed, right?
I would think so. Yeah, we'll get to that in the look aheads in a second. But yeah, and then one other one I wanted. This is a long time ago, but Bry, you're still on cloud nine from the Raiders beating up on the Chargers, 63-21.
That was stupid. Goodness. That wasn't even it wasn't watching a real game. I mean, if you like being a Raiders fan, I mean, that type of game just never happens. I mean, Easton Stick couldn't have been I mean, couldn't have been worse. But the funny thing
is, he ended up with decent stats.
Yeah,
he actually did touchdown passes.
But well, yeah, again, it's one of those games. The Raiders come down and score. And when you turn the ball over like on three straight possessions and they score, I mean, there's nothing you could do. It's like probably kid was saying with the Cowboys. Like if you start off that poorly, you're out of that game already. But that just continued to happen throughout the whole game. Again, it's something you don't see as a Raiders fan. And look, I'm happy for Pierce. Like I like the way that defensively the team has played. But again, it's one of those things like you're just a great another 7-1 season. This is great. This is awesome.
I mean, this is, I was saying like how the hell are you supposed to figure out if anyone does a symposium on why you shouldn't gamble, just show the Raiders last two games. Like they couldn't score a freaking point at home against the Vikings. And then they put up 63 4 days later. This is a whole different team. 4 days later, they put up 63.
All right, and they're both at home. It's not like
figuring it out.
It's not like they were on the road.
You had to feel pretty good, though. You had to feel like, hey, you know what? This was something.
He felt great, and you know why it sucks? Because he's gloating. Oh, my Raiders are back, and then there's the poor parlay.
Brian never bragged.
Brandon Staley gets fired. Dayton alum there, and so it really rubbing it in there. But I guess if you're ever going to fire a coach. It worked out perfectly. Wait till the Thursday game. Then you got 10 days in between and he's gone. Does he work again? Parlay kid? Does he get a coordinator
somewhere. That's for sure. Right. Yep. Like he had a lot of success as a defensive coordinator,
they weren't very good defensive, not even just in that game, but
right. Well, cause he was really leading the offense there, which is right. When he was with the Rams, he had a very nice run as the defense on the defensive side.
I wonder if he took tougher classes than Darren at Dayton. Boy, dumb decisions.
Wow. So, interesting.
This just shows you though, like in terms of tanking that NFL teams just don't tank because I know we always say this, but look, I think the Chargers were doing this perfectly. Like, look, once the season was over, keep Staley because you are playing way worse with Staley, right? You're solidifying a better draft pick for Herbert next year and whatever. You're gonna fire him anyway after the season. Now the only problem is 3 weeks left. You have a new coach. Maybe all of a sudden you start playing hard and you win a game or two that you weren't going to win with Staley. So I don't know. I mean, if I'm a Chargers fan, I would have almost been like, whatever. You waited so long to fire Staley. I don't care if you just keep him through the end of the year. If we're going to keep losing games like this and get a better pick and a new coaching staff. Anyway, it's just weird. It just shows you like, I know too, you have players on that team that want to win. So like, you can't just trot out this coach. That's awful, but
you have played. Not only that, you have, there's probably 8 players on the team who are guaranteed a job next year. Like that's how you have to look at it. Like, of course they want to win. And also like you're playing for your future. I don't care what the GM or who this guy is or who that guy is. So listen, I play to win too. And I won again with my first touchdown play. We did it. Zamir White. I made the last second change when they said Josh Jacobs wasn't in. I knew right away, Harry, when Josh Jacobs was out, that he wasn't going to score the first touchdown. That's how my mind works. I'm like, he's not even playing. This guy's not going to score the first or any touchdown in this game. And so I replaced him with Zamir White at 5-1.
Amazing.
And now we are oh my God, I'm so good at this. We are now 2-54. Is that right, Parley Kid? 14.
Yeah.
But we did this 14 weeks. We're 2-54.
Yeah.
And probably like minus 43 units or something. Yep. I figured that. Anyway. Mm.
Nice.
And I looked ahead and tomorrow it's not pretty. I don't know what the hell I'm going to do. We're all over the place. But anyway, we could potentially make a comeback. All right. Listen, let's look ahead to a few lines when we return. We'll be right back.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
All right, week 16, two Saturday games. What a week this is. Two Saturday games, of course, a bunch on Sunday, and then three Christmas Day games. Sorry, NBA. You had decades to dominate this day, Christmas Day, and now it's time for the big boys to take over. San Francisco, Baltimore, the marquee matchup on Christmas. We talked about it a lot in the last segment, but it's 5.5. The 49ers are favored. I think, is this where it turns for San Francisco on the downside, parlay kid? Because I'm telling everyone plus 240 now, by the way, plus 220 to win the Super Bowl is the bet. No one is in San Francisco's league, and you're now just betting against injuries at this point. But someone's going to look foolish in this game, right?
Yeah, I don't see it being the 49ers, Sal. Even we've seen a couple games where they've fallen behind early. It doesn't even matter. Then they just roll up the points. Got guys wide open all over the field. McCaffrey, to me, and I know Harry, I do think he is the MVP of that team. Does it all. And on the defensive side, they're creating turnovers. They get to the quarterback. They play. Their linebackers fly all over the field. They are the class of the league. Mm-hmm. If there's one team that can kind of match them with physicality, it is the Ravens, I think, though. The Ravens are also a physical team. So, yeah, maybe the Ravens, I don't know if they get this game, but I do think they maybe they'll beat San Francisco up a little bit in a way, you know, and you know, have San Francisco come a little limping out of that game. I like think the spread is right about where I would have guessed it. So at -5.5, I think that's right on point.
Sal, I think it's a tad high, though, just a little high. Mm-hmm. San Francisco is 5-1 at home, but Baltimore 5-1 in their last six on the road. And Baltimore in those five on the road, they've given up 17 points or less in four of them.
Yeah.
And that's a little,
it's just it's a tough one because the 49ers are just right. And they gave
just
up.
Rolling up to, right. Sure.
They gave up what 29 to Arizona, but you never thought, you're like, whatever, they'll beat you however they want. Like an MMA star who knows, you know, everything, wrestling, grappling, strike, everything. Any way you want to beat a team, they're there. Harry, though, why don't you make a more reasonable bet? Because the Christian McCaffrey thing, running backs don't get votes. And if he does this year, what a miracle. How about minus 170 for offensive player of the year? It's not like Purdy's going to steal that from him. Purdy's 75-1. And you mentioned Tyreek Hill just sitting out that game could be all the difference.
That hurt him big, but still... Hill could still, even without setting out that game, still eclipse 2,000 yards, which would be amazing, missing that game too. So he's still in the running, but minus 170, sure. McCaffrey, look at his numbers. He's amazing. He should be that, and he should be the MVP.
Okay. All right. But I'm saying a more reasonable bet.
Oh, I know, more reasonable than 170. He should be minus 170, I think. Sal is a bargain at minus 170. He should be minus 400.
Yeah, it was like minus 130 even Monday morning, I think. So, Bri, do you think that's, I mean, of course, he'll like that sitting out the game could be all the difference.
Yeah, because
picking between these two, which was impossible all year long.
Yeah, and I mean, I think we saw right against the Jets too. Mm-hmm. You know, Tua had a big game early on in that game against the Jets, and Waddle made some big plays down the field too. So it's like, you know,
how about Mostert has 20 touchdowns? We'll get to him in a second. But
Mostert still has 20 touchdowns. I mean, that's the thing. Look, between the 49ers and the Dolphins, they have a lot of guys on these teams that are.
Yeah, you're picking between the running back who has a quarterback who's considered the MVP or a receiver who's got a running back teammate with 20 touchdowns. So it's tough.
You take away McCaffrey. You put Elijah Mitchell in there as running back for San Fran, and knowing that Debo missed a few games as well. Like, where are the Niners, and are they putting up crazy numbers like they are in terms of, and the stats that McCaffrey has in terms of, look at what he does. Forget about the rushing. Look at his receiving. He's going to probably wind up with 10 receiving touchdowns, probably 600-700 yards receiving on top of what he does running the ball and at the touchdowns he has. Like, where are the Niners if they don't have him and Elijah Mitchell's their running back?
Well, it's hard to say. They have a great
talk
defense.
Talk about MVP. That's it.
We haven't mentioned defense at all, and they have a dynamite lights-out defense. So,
the interesting thing is, and I know we've talked about this before, though, this is a weird thing. I don't like bringing up injuries. But if the 49ers were going to have one injury between Purdy, McCaffrey, and Samuel, who's the
interesting.
Most...
interesting.
Right, I feel like if they don't have Samuel or Purdy, they can't win playoff games.
Right.
Like, I feel like they potentially could.
I'm with you.
We've seen other backs do okay in that system, too. So,
good
like,
question, Bri, but probably Purdy, because then you got Darnold in there.
Yeah. Well, good for you answering your own question there. all right, so what's the other job? All right, Cincinnati-Pittsburgh, this is Saturday. 2.5 now. Bengals on the road, a little high. I think Rudolph in now for Trubisky, who was just a disaster.
Oh,
and what a surprise. Pittsburgh 7-7 going into the last 3 weeks, which is all we ever knew. The Tomlin, but even Tomlin's looking shaky with some questionable decisions, including calling timeouts during the stretch to allow the Colts game to go over to kick a field goal. Good job. Harry had Gay over 7.5 points or something. So that hit earlier, I think, anyway.
That hit early.
But, 2.5 parlay kid. I know you love Browning, and this is another road spot for him that he could do some damage.
Yeah, I think this is where it should be. Got a team I really enjoy watching in Cincinnati and another team I can't stand. I really don't know if I'll watch this game because I can't watch the Steelers. I can't watch them. Like, come on, guys. You guys can't watch them either. No, it's way too hard. They're way too hard to
just
watch.
Put on the red zone.
To me, the Falcons,
Steelers.
Those are the two. The Falcons might even be worse for me now. I don't know because I haven't found a way to bet them like I have the Steelers a little bit. But
yeah, that's true. Yeah. You've had some success with the Steelers, so maybe that's why you're not jaded as much as I am about them.
I hate them. Believe me, I hate them. But
I can't stand watching this team. I hope Cincinnati can put them out of their misery this week and just win this game and cover that spread. Cincinnati, look, like I said before about Cincinnati, they just have a winning pedigree right now. They just, they win football games when it's crunch time, they win. Go Cincy. This is right. I don't think this is high. You thought this was high. I don't think so.
I just think Pittsburgh's tough in the middle of December to win. And with Tomlin, you know, trying to sneaks out weird wins here and there, but I don't know. He did win a road game, though. I mean, that was his first game, right, Browning? At Jacksonville might be a little different, but in Pittsburgh.
5 straight game Steelers under 20 points. 5 straight.
Yeah. Bri, you lost that one, though, right? That first half Steelers thing? What did you have first quarter?
Well, I mean, they
finally scored a little bit.
I ended up, you know, when we did it, I had the -1.5 first half at +120.
Oh, that's what it was. Close minus
that was
one
really
half.
That was really a bet ache too in terms of just being able to take them just money line.
They
I should have just
one.
Taken.
Yeah,
I did. I will say I bet them on Sunday on the money line at -110 or -115 for the half, which was nice for them. Because that was a half they shouldn't. The Colts definitely should not have covered that half.
Right.
You know, just the fact they got the ball back and marched down the field right at the end there to score, that was awful for Pittsburgh.
Steelers games are so weird.
Go away. I agree. Go away, Pittsburgh. Go away, Atlanta.
And let's talk Atlanta real quick here, Brian. This is a tic-tac line. It flipped. Indianapolis was a 1.5 point favorite. Now Atlanta's a 1.5 point favorite. This is a guaranteed locked-in line for the Falcons every week. 1.5, 2, or 2.5. You could extend it for the next few games into preseason next season, next year. I don't know what has to change, but I do look at this Atlanta team. I'm like, that's a good job. That's a good job for a head coach to have. Like people are like, oh, Belichick needs to go to the Chargers. I'd rather go to Atlanta if they're going to fire that coach. You know, I think they're a quarterback away from, because I think it's easier, parlay kid, to turn around that division than it is to beat Mahomes, you know? Atlanta, they talk about Tampa having a coaching availability. Yep. So those are the jobs I think I would want if I'm Belichick or anybody else, right?
I think you're right. Yeah, there's a talent base that's already there. That's where you want to go. Teams that are not reaching their potential, that they're close to the cusp of being like a playoff type of team. Yeah, that's exactly where you want to go.
Yeah. Cleveland, Houston.
By the way, Sal, go ahead. Good for a second.
Sure, you can.
we did our future, when we did our future NFL picks and plays and everything, I did give out Ritter under 2,600 yards. And with Heinicke now getting the, for the second time, him getting benched, and now Heinicke's playing, Ritter has like 25-50.
Oh.
Beat him the rest of the year. That's a winner.
You know what's a winner? Heinicke getting hurt.
Heinicke did put up some points.
Heinicke getting hurt. So Heinicke is named the starter, and that's why that line flipped to Atlanta's a favorite? What a year. What a crazy year this is. Against
it makes it hard. It makes it hard because I do think Heinicke's better. You can throw the ball down the field with Heinicke.
It's so crazy. Cleveland, I mean, the Atlanta games are all 12-10, you know, in the fourth quarter. And then you're killed. You're like, why did I watch this for 2.5 hours? I could have just turned it on now. Cleveland, Houston, we think Keenum, that was a surprise seeing Keenum instead of Davis Mills in their Sunday. And he did okay. Led him to a win over the Titans. Definitely could have lost that game. And now the Texans, Harry, a 2.5-point favorite. Cleveland on the road. I don't know, Harry. That line suggests that Stroud is playing to me. You don't think so?
Yeah, a little, because, you know, Cleveland, Cleveland 5-2 in their last seven. As is Houston. But I don't know. Maybe it's fair here. You mentioned Keenum had a nice game. He can manage a game. He's been to an NFC Championship game before, and in his history. And Singletary, three games in his last like six games with 110 rushing. So they've been able to run the ball a little bit, take some pressure off whoever's filling in for Stroud. And the Browns, like I said, 5-2 in the last seven, but just 2-4 on the road with those two wins. On the road in the last six games were by a combined 3 points. So not great on the road for Cleveland. Houston still a lot of stuff at stake for them, the division, the playoffs. So I think that's a fair number. Including pulling out the game the way they did against the Bears. Now got to go on the road. I don't know. It's fair.
And trust me, I'm trying to pick the best games to look ahead here. I really am. And so far the next two are good, but we previewed Browning against Rudolph, we previewed Minshew against Heinicke, and now Flacco, either one of them, against potentially Keenum here. Parley Kid, Dallas, a 1.5-point underdog. I thought we'd be favorite at Miami. If we lose, I'm just going to say it's because we didn't need the game, because you and I figured out it's too tall climb to get the division at this point. I don't know. I don't have a feel for this. Maybe 1.5's a good number.
Yeah, I think it is a good number. The Cowboys haven't shown they can beat a good, really good team on the road, right? Miami plays very exceptionally well at home. This is where Dallas can silence their critics, right? The ones that say, hey, show us you can go on the road and win a game against a good team. I think the Dolphins might be the perfect recipe for them in that matter, because I think they can get to Tua. I think they can. The Dolphins, to me, aren't like those – the Bills and the 49ers in terms of being like a very ultra physical. I think they're a little finesse, the Dolphins. And I think that plays to the Cowboys' strengths. This has got to be the one. You know, Parsons is on his podcast or what he's doing. I love the guy. And, you know, he's saying, like, why do we get, you know, abused after a loss? Nobody else has to deal with it. Well, that's what happens when you're a Cowboy. But I think there'll be a lot of Dallas fans down in Miami. I like this game for them. This is their chance to shut people up. Boy, oh boy, let's hope they use all this hate that they get as locker room bulletin board material and they come out and do the job against Miami. But Miami needs this game too. They need this game big time as well.
Harry pointed out, Bills are chasing them, nipping at the heels now. It used to be the other way around. Look out for Miami. Don't. Pencil in the Bills to win the division anytime soon. So, all right, there you go. That's our week 16 look ahead. Let's take another break and we'll finish things up here on Against All Odds.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
All right, couple things here. Covington lost to Edwards. Brother Brian, that was your Shark Tank pick. That fight sucked. That was boring. I said to Mikey card. Meatballs, well, Edwards reminds me of like Woodley, but like as a striker. Like Woodley was such a boring winner. And then you got Edwards and kind of just does it, just you know, jabs and gets out and scores points and wins. But Covington, I honestly feel like he's just fighting and just can't wait to get win or lose. Just wants the post game interview. That's all he wants. The post.
I know. I mean, it was a really weird fight because the one thing I thought was Covington fought like he hadn't fought in 21 months, which is what happened. But he's just been a guy who's just in phenomenal shape all the time. You can't talk that much trash, right? Mm. You have the former president there who you're fighting for essentially, and then you put up that effort, and then you go on and talk about how like at the end of the fight you still thought you won that fight and whatever. Yeah,
he doesn't have a scratch on him. He said, "No, I don't have a scratch on his eyes, bleeding. He's like blinking as he's giving the interview."
It was just a really, I never expected a boring fight out of Covington. I mean, Edwards, yes, he fights smart sometimes, but he's been in some competitive, like more exciting fights than that, obviously. Yeah. I was just very surprised and disappointed in Covington, even though I've always hated Covington. So whatever, I did think he was going to win that fight, but he just showed the effort was little there.
He was the best fight on that card. Yeah, the best fight might have been Strickland in the stands. What was it against? Who was it against? That might have been the best one.
DuPlessis. Yeah. Well, yeah, that's the next pay-per-view fight, right? In January that's coming up. So that was exciting. That was exciting. But yeah, I will even say for Covington, I don't know what it was, though. Like when he came out to the ring too, he looked really nervous.
Mm-hmm.
He looked like I have all this pressure on me.
Yeah, he did look like fight. That. Yeah.
It was weird. It was weird. Right. He didn't look it was just a very I don't know.
And now Edwards, you look with all the stuff calling out his mother and father and everything, he did stay composed, which made for a bad fight, but they got to hand it to him, I guess.
And, you know, I mean, now you go back in Covington's career and you're like, you know, who did he beat? He beat Woodley, who was boring. You start doing that now with his career.
Parley Kid, do you think Dana White says to like Strickland, like, oh, this card is a bust. You got to start a fight in the fans and in the stands. I'll give you 20 grand just to go after the former president. I don't care. Just do juice it up a little bit. Something.
I don't think that's as far fetched as some people may think it is. Right. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
We don't know how much they're told, hey, you got to drum this up, you know?
Right.
Whether it's Covington with his crazy talk to Edwards. You know, I'm sure these guys are told you got to make this a spectacle a little bit, mm-hmm. So, not that this is the WWE, but I definitely feel like some of these moments are, I wouldn't say scripted, but they are encouraged, you could
say. Sure. Harry, I don't know, Purdue, let's go college basketball for a minute. Purdue back to number one. They beat Arizona. Purdue now plus 850, Arizona 10-1. I think Edie's like minus 200 now to win the Wooden Award. But what do you think of what went on this weekend?
Well, look, you know, Purdue, nice win against Arizona. They've have wins against your team that you like to win the national championship this year, Sal, Marquette and Alabama, but all by single digits. And it doesn't even matter. Like, you know, the whole thing I have against Painter, it doesn't matter until tourney time with this team. I mean, they have one loss. They've looked good, Purdue, but their loss was to Northwestern, a team that also lost to Chicago State. So that was an interesting loss. But Purdue looks good right now. But Connecticut at 10-1. They've beaten North Carolina, Texas, and Gonzaga all by double digits. Connecticut defending champs look really good. And my Creighton's at 9-2. Weird. Their two losses against Mountain West teams, but they look pretty good too. But again, Purdue can do whatever they want during the regular season. And Darren knows this.
Mm-hmm.
Got to do it come tourney time or Painter's a failure again.
Do you know I look forward to the apology tour, Harry. I'm looking forward to it.
Harry's got a couple of apologies this year.
They get to the Final Four, they win it, Darren. I will then. Oh, see, we'll see.
No, you're going to have to do more than that. More. You can't tear these people down. Question who they are.
The best player in the league. You do have the best player who didn't have to come back and he came back. Where would they be if they didn't, come back? So come on.
A lot of these teams rely on good players. It's weird how it works out.
Not every team has a 7 foot five guy who can dominate inside either.
Yeah, that's true. Bri, you see anybody you like in these top 9 or 12? Duke's 26-1. I'm saying, I don't know, Gonzaga down to 30-1. They're not as impressive, I don't think.
Yeah, I'm not really too sure, Sal. I think, you know,
Houston was your team, right?
Houston was the team I started with. I still like the way they're playing here, but yeah, it's so hard to say. I mean, I just know I'm going to lose.
Connecticut looks good.
Connecticut, I would say. UConn probably the team right now that in the tourney is going to be a problem.
Now the big matchup everyone's talking about is Harry in the semifinals of our fantasy league, and you can tune out now if you don't care about this, against Brother John. That's Parlay Kid's brother and Brother Bri's the oldest brother in the family. And what I want to know is, Parlay Kid, and you don't have to reveal this now, maybe you could save this for tomorrow's podcast, who are you rooting for? Certainly some animosity between you and Harry, but not 52 years of animosity that you built up with Brother John. I mean, I don't think you've rooted for, you would root for him when he'd wrestle for sure. Right.
Yeah.
I think. Yep. Okay. All right. But
John's the smartest brother, is John.
Well,
best looking is Keith.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
I don't know what Brian and Darren do, but.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Both teams are coming off probably their highest scoring games of the year. Harry.
Right.
Just getting to the 3-digit mark, probably for the first time all year.
I lost one week when I scored 129.
John coming off a
crushed
blowout
me.
Winner.
I mean, it didn't have to.
Which meant nothing. I mean, you rested your starters probably.
Darren, for the heck of it. Is it the heck of it,
Harry, or you're just a terrible coach? Because you sat Mostert 3 out of the last 5 games. So, okay, three. I looked. So, don't challenge me on this.
Okay.
3 out of the last 5. You sat the guy with 20 touchdowns. So you don't know what you're doing.
I wanted to make sure that I was playing John in the first round.
You wanted to make sure.
You got to set the lines. Did you send anything out setting the lines in these games, Sal?
Well, I got to see the lineups. Yeah, I know.
Be fair, Sal. Be fair.
Well, CBS usually has a projection,
projections. I think this is actually ones we should probably bet on.
I have to know if Harry's going to start the best running back in the league. It's ridiculous.
Bijan sits. Bijan sits. Goff's coming off 5 touchdowns.
Why would you start any of these guys? Bijan and Mixon don't have 20 touchdowns combined. And why would you ever sit Mostert? Don't worry about it.
I just think that I thought Bijan maybe might have a big game against Carolina this past week. He didn't. Mm-hmm. But Mostert start in the lineup this week, baby. And that game is going over.
Are we all rooting for Brother John here?
I think our whole league is rooting for Joe Kahn's is rooting for John.
You might be the last holdout, Parlay Kid. I don't know.
Let's just say that Joe Kahn's, who is buddies of ours for years, who was in the league for the first time this year.
It's not true. He's been in the league like 3 years. This is his third year, I think. So, yeah. So,
no, it isn't.
Yeah.
At least two.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is his third year.
However many years he's been in, Joe Kahn's has been a flop in our fantasy league so far.
All right.
Flop.
I mean, he had more points than you entering this week. So I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
Listen,
his partner Frank is better, and that's saying terrible things.
All right. Well,
ask me tomorrow again, Sal. I'll give you my definitive answer.
Yeah.
To who?
By the way, they started Green. I'm sorry, Darren, but they started Kahn's and Frank started Green on Green Bay, who didn't play this week.
You sat with Mostert. Shut up.
Green on Green Bay.
Who's Green?
Or who I'm not going to say, Dylan. Sorry.
Oh, my gosh. All right. So there all goes. Right.
He was thinking of AJ Green. He was thinking AJ Green.
You're thinking of Ahmad Green. He's thinking of Ahmad Green. Are you kidding me?
Mitch Blood Green? Who are you thinking of?
No, Green Bay. Sorry. I don't know what I'm saying. But still, a player that didn't start, they sat against me. So
there you go.
Brother John.
He's talking all the smack and he starts one running back against me.
I'm certainly on Team Kahn's with this. I think he's got that team heading in the right direction for the future.
Good job.
No doubt. When I bring Fink in maybe a guest next year, we'll see what happens. I might have a guest partner next year. Wait till you see. It could be amazing.
Well, if it's Fakin, fine. I imagine you'll still call the shots, but we're not giving him his own team. I'll be out. I'll be done. That's it. I mean, part of the kid, he'll screw you over. That will be his mission, to screw you over, not start guys against guys you need to beat and stuff.
True.
I mean, I don't know what you're rooting for here.
All right. He gave me the Raiders for the cartoon on Thursday. So,
well, somebody
John
gave that to
wins
you.
By another 20 another this week. 20, what 25 points.
By 20?
I think you're looking at Harry's team. It's just
Derek. Amari Cooper had a nice game. So you that's got, good. You had Miami's huge, defense is kicking
the Dolphins'
butt
for me defense
left and
right. Is not shutting out the Cowboys this week, Harry.
No, but
so.
Then, Mike, guess what? Dak's due for a pick six, baby.
So a lot of this has to do if we're watching the games with Brother John, which we really, which I guess
John
on Christmas
tends to be the luckiest player in the league normally. Yeah. Right?
Here's your decision. But Parley Kid, you watch the games with Brother John. So that's a tough 6 hours or 4 hours or whatever it is. And he complains. But the whole rest of the week on this other chain is Harry bragging. So that's what you got to figure out.
That's
the trade-off.
I'm going for John. Okay. But that's the thing that's frustrating.
South Beach,
that's
baby.
The thing that's frustrating about John when it comes to fantasy. Like you could ask Brother, he'll sit there and say, he's doing nothing for me. And I swear, as soon as he says it, 80-yard touchdown. Yeah. It's like, are you kidding? Enough of this. Enough. Every
single time. He thinks he has powers. All right, listen.
Actually, by the way, Sal, it was Ken who didn't want to start Mostert. So,
Okay. And by the way, Harry, another pick that you didn't make on Thursday night, confirmed by Babyface Joel Solomon.
Congratulations to John Fagan.
Because the Raiders fit the cartoon.
I wasn't taking the Chargers.
Fit,
I hate them.
It fit the joke in the cartoon. The pick wasn't even made. It was made like 2 weeks ago, whatever. So,
Fagan.
All right. Everybody but him. All right, let's say goodbye here. We have tomorrow. We're going to go over the Thursday night game. That's going to be a good one. What do we have? Rams and Saints. Oh, I hate that one. I hate it for so many reasons. That non-PI call killed me. I'm still digging my way out accounting-wise from that one. So we'll have that. We're going to have some bowl games to go over. We're going to have Shark Tank and so much more. That does it for another episode of Against All Odds from Mikey Meatballs in the D3. I'm Sal saying so long. And happy handicapping. You must be 21 or older and present in select states. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under an agreement with Kansas Star Casino, LLC. You have a gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG in Colorado, Iowa, Kentucky, Michigan, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Tennessee, and Virginia. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona, 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut, 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana, 1-800-522-4700 or visit ksgamblinghelp.com in Kansas, 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana, visit mdgamblinghelp.org in Maryland, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia, or call 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming. Hope is here. Visit gamblinghelplinema.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support in Massachusetts, or call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPENY in New York.